You are about to listen to South Shore Community Church's sermon preached on the 5th of May 2020. South Shore Community Church is located on the South Shore of Montreal. Pastor Jay's sermon this week is entitled, The Result of the Spirit, Gentleness.
Well, 1 week from tomorrow, assuming that nothing changes and there's a lot of pressure going back and forth about it, elementary schools outside of the Montreal area are set to reopen. And of course, the Montreal area is supposed to open on the 19th, just about a week later. And I don't know about you, whether you feel that's exciting or scary, or I know that there are people who are wondering if they can trust the government, if the government's using their kids as guinea pigs, or whether this is just part of reopening all the businesses and it's the best decision. Others are feeling so overwhelmed by juggling work and crisis schooling their kids that they are welcoming any kind of relief. And they're probably just feeling very eager for school to reopen. And I was listening to a radio program this past week where the talk show host was kind of complaining that no matter what she chose, there were going to be some people who thought she was crazy, irresponsible, you name it. And so if she sent her kids, there'd be people criticizing her because, you know, she was taking risks she shouldn't with her kids. If she kept her kids home, then she's being a helicopter parent. And she said, how about you do you and let me be me, or me do me. Another person that I was speaking with recently talked about how their greatest fear with so many things around COVID is not getting the virus, but really being judged for doing the wrong thing. And that's, you know, whether you wear a homemade mask in public, wash your groceries, buy a lot of toilet paper, play Animal Crossing all day, or bake bread, you never know what it is that's going to be the next wrong thing to do. And things that seem completely normal to do one day, the next day might even cost you $1,000, like taking a walk in a park and getting fined for that. So many things are changing. You know, normally we have this sense of what's right and what's wrong, not just in terms of morality, but just what's acceptable, what's considered polite. And as Canadians, we tend to try to be polite. And that's all changing. And people are trying to figure out that new normal. And in the midst of it, it's easy to become tribal. It's easy to kind of feel like everybody who agrees with you, they're right, and everybody who doesn't, they're wrong. It's natural. It's, I think, part of the sinful nature and part of selfishness in the sinful nature that causes us to kind of tend towards that. And, you know, we have this tendency to think that whatever we've decided to do is the wisest thing, the right thing to do. And so anybody who decides to do something different from us, that's not wise, that's foolish, that's not right, it's wrong. And so with so much in our society changing, that can get worse. You know, we've talked about tribalism and we see it all the time from our neighbor down in the South in the States, where Republicans and Democrats can hardly speak to each other, but where our society can easily become more tribal in times like this, more hateful, more judgmental of one another. And, you know, I think people are getting in trouble pretty much every day on social media for one gaffe or another. What was funny yesterday is just wrong today. And you can go from being a nobody to having thousands of people hating on you, posting hateful messages on your social media in just a 24-hour span. And while our culture has these hateful tribal practices, if we recognize that it's easy for us, because it's part of the sinful nature, to go there, and that we don't want to go there, I think that that is an important first step, in a sense. As Christians, we shouldn't be like that. we should have a different kind of a tolerance of people making mistakes because we recognize that we make them. You know, Jesus talked about that when he talked about our need for forgiving one another. If God has forgiven us, how come we can't seem to forgive one another? That we shouldn't be judging people for their choices. Oh, choices are important. As Christians, we believe they're more important than many non-Christians do, and we want to do what's right. But we shouldn't just be looking down on everybody else. We should recognize that we too sometimes make bad choices. We too, even when we're doing our best, sometimes falter and fail. And God wants us to make wise choices, and we need to lean on His Spirit for wisdom during these times. But let's give each other grace to be different and to make and recognize that sometimes in different situations, different choices are the right thing to do. And so what's right for our family isn't necessarily right for your family or your situation. We are called to live differently than the world. And not only are we called to live differently on the outside to make different choices, but we're called to be different on the inside. And as we, a few weeks ago, we were doing a series that we called The Result of the Spirit. And it really was focused on the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5, chapter 22 to 23. And I want to conclude that series today by looking at the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit, why we called our series The Result of the Spirit, is because we recognize so often when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit that people don't realize that it's something that should be automatic. Just like fruit grows on a fruit tree, the fruit of the Spirit should be growing in our lives if we know Jesus, if the Holy Spirit is living and active in our lives. That's what should be happening. And so, as a natural result of the Spirit's presence in your life, in my life, we should see an increase in gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit means that if we have the Spirit living in us, we shouldn't look like the world. We shouldn't look like everybody else. And in these times, we should be able to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, and yes, gentleness, way more than the average person around us. And I know that even as I say that, that some of you are saying, well, Pastor Jay, that's nice, but I'm not there. The point is not where we're at today. The point is, are we growing? Are we allowing the Spirit to help us to grow in these areas? Because if not, we're actually turning away from Him because He's trying. He wants to do this work in our life. And it's only if we resist Him, in a sense, that this won't happen. If we're actively opening our heart to Him, He is going to build these things in our lives. And you know, I think today is a day when we need gentleness more than ever. You know, I think about these times, I've often thought, I would not want to be Justin Trudeau or Premier Legault today, because no matter what they decide, there are going to be people who are hating them, people who are blaming them, because no matter what they decide, some people are going to die. No matter what they decide, some people are going to be without their jobs, and some businesses are probably going to go bankrupt, no matter what they decide. And so I really think as Christians, this is a time when we need to understand gentleness, because part of gentleness, I believe, will help us not to be like that, not to be able to, yes, see where our politicians maybe are not acting in Christ-like ways, to challenge them, but at the same time, to give them grace and mercy, to recognize that they're doing their best. And even if we disagree on some things at times, that they're not trying to destroy Canada or trying to destroy Quebec. I think that this key fruit of gentleness is so needed today, but I also think that it's a very misunderstood thing. Some people may think of Canadians as gentle because, you know, we're so polite. Or we may use the word gentleman as an essentially meaningless term, ladies and gentlemen. Though you don't hear that as much today because it's kind of not politically correct. You know, in certain circles, gentleness would even be seen as a feminine characteristic, and real men aren't gentle. Mothers are gentle, fathers are harsh, is kind of the stereotype. And others, of course, put gentleness and weakness together. And maybe our Canadian politeness would fall into this category, and people would look at our country as not really standing up for itself at times. But I should point out that this is not what the Bible is talking about when it talks about gentleness. There's so many things in the word where, yes, they've translated it into the best English words that we can find, but really we have to let the Bible translate the Bible. We have to look at what does the Bible say about gentleness. When we look through the fruit of the Spirit and we have all these words, we have to ask ourselves, have I bought into the world's idea of love? And that's what I'm reading into this scripture? Or am I actually looking at what the Bible has to say and letting the Bible define what love is? And in the same way with gentleness, when we see gentleness in this passage, we need to say, have I bought into the world's idea of gentle, where to be powerful is good, and gentleness is equated with weakness? Have I bought into the idea that gentleness is not a masculine thing, if you're a man, to strive for, and so it shouldn't even be something that I want to be? Or am I allowing the Bible to define what gentleness is and seeing how I can truly be strong, because the Bible calls us to be strong. I can truly be the man God wants me to be, and I realize some of you are women, of course, so that's not really a consideration for you, but I can be that and be gentle. And in fact, the Bible commands me to be gentle. So there's no room for being proud of our harshness, that we just tell it like it is all the time. There's no room for that when we look at the Bible and it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. To understand what real gentleness looks like, we both need to look at other places in the Bible where we find the word gentle. And if you have a concordance or you're online, of course, you can use BibleGateway or .com or one of those sites and search the Bible and find everywhere where the word gentle is used. And if you want to go even deeper, you can look at the underlying Greek words in some of the, or Hebrew words in the Old Testament, and see where the same Greek words or the same Hebrew words are used. And of course, that's part of what I did as I studied and prepared for this message today. But I believe that we also need to look at the person of Jesus Christ. If we want to know what we should look like, then we need to look at Jesus. Because understanding real gentleness means looking at Jesus, because he was truly a gentle person. Now, whenever we say that, I know that people have certain ideas in their mind about Jesus too. And when I say that as Christians we have to be like Jesus, sometimes people have a very unrealistic idea of what Jesus was like. They think of Jesus as kind of meek and mild, a really nice guy. And that's how he's often portrayed by non-Christians. That's how he's often portrayed by nominal Christians, people who've never really read the Bible. They see the pictures of the stained glass window and Jesus with a halo and a glow around his head, and a very nicely combed beard and hair, or sometimes even clean-shaven, with blue eyes, very sweet look on his face, and they think that that's what Jesus was like. But Jesus was not just a nice guy. In fact, he was tough. He stood up against injustice and sinfulness. Jesus could say and do many things that would seem very harsh to us. In Matthew 23, starting at verse 15, Jesus said, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, And when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. You blind guides, you blind fools, you snakes, you brood of vipers. I've taken out a few words in between, but we get the idea that, you know, if Jesus was gentle and this is Jesus, how do we put these things together? And one of the things I think we need to look at is we look a little bit further down in the passage. In Matthew chapter 23, 37, Jesus says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." Jesus can say such strong, harsh things, but we see his heart. He's saying, you know, you're killing the prophets, you're doing awful things, and I want to gather you, I want to love you, but you're pushing away from me. Jesus could be considered so harsh. He drove money changers and people doing business out of the temple with a whip in Matthew chapter 21. And yet, he himself called himself gentle. In Matthew 11, 28, 30, he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And we see gentleness so obviously in Jesus' life when he's meeting with so many people. I often think of the Samaritan woman who expected Jesus to be an enemy and kind of starts off very suspiciously when he starts to talk and is antagonistic really towards him. And yet he offers her salvation. He speaks to her and meets her right where she is. He confronts her with her sin, but only so that she will believe him when he tells her how to be saved. So which is Jesus? Is he schizophrenic? Is he gentle or is he harsh? We know that Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. And so we know that in both of these moments, Jesus was demonstrating to us how we too should live and how we can grow in gentleness, in perfect balance with grace, love, righteousness, and holiness, to be just like him. So how can we do this? How can we understand how to use gentleness and when we should be harsh or if we should be harsh? Well, the first thing I think we need to note in looking at Jesus is we will find that true gentleness is the consistent starting point for him. Now, the Bible doesn't always tell us everything that went on in Jesus' relationship with others. But when we see Jesus meeting people for the first time, it seems like he's always calling to them. He's inviting them to come. That's how the crowds began to gather. Jesus began to call people to himself. He called his disciples. And we see him so often patiently, gently, humbly helping them. He spent hours teaching people who really didn't understand what he had to say, and healing people who he knew would later ungratefully turn on him. He could have exercised his power and fried everyone at the foot of the cross who had put him there. And of course, he didn't have to go to the cross. He was God. He had all the power available to him. And yet he chose not to use it. He chose to say, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And so we find that Jesus' approach to people is so gentle, so humble. And if he is harsh, it is always because people are stubbornly refusing to accept the truth about him and to accept him after having been given many opportunities, after he has taken so much time to try to explain, to challenge them right where they're at, right where their heart needs the challenge. And that's the second thing I think that we can note about gentleness, is that true gentleness comes out of a place of humility and patience. If you want to grow in gentleness, then we have to set aside our desire to be right all the time, our arrogance, our pride. We have to set aside our impatience and learn patience. And that's one of the reasons why I believe that patience is listed earlier in this list. It's pretty hard to be gentle without being patient. And we see Jesus exercising this so much, and I believe showing us even another characteristic of gentleness. Jesus was not only humble and patient, but what being humble and patient really points to is that he restrained his power. He refrained from using power that was available to him. He could have blasted everybody with the truth, but instead he gently brought them the truth. And I think that's a key characteristic for us to remember, that gentleness means that we restrain our strength and our desire to defend ourselves. And instead, we use whatever strength, whatever powers God has given to us out of care and concern for others. And in illustrating this, you know, one of the things that I thought about was a huge dog. And so often I've seen huge dogs with little children. And you see how they treat a little child. And if you're on the video, you see a picture there of a little baby nestled in a big dog's lap, in a sense. And we call these dogs gentle giants for a reason. Because dogs are not normally known for gentleness. They're normally known for lots of energy and tearing around all over the place and chewing on things and chasing things that are smaller than them. And yet somehow when you put a baby next to a big dog, they know how important that baby is. And they know to treat it with infinite gentleness. And they'll allow that baby to pull their hair and to do all sorts of things with them. And at worst, they'll just walk away. They know. And to me, that's such a perfect picture of gentleness. Gentleness isn't weakness. It's restraining our strength. It's being humble and patient when we don't have to be, when we could do something else that is a lot more rough. Instead, that is gentleness. And I believe that that's one of the things that we need to look at. If we struggle with gentleness in our lives, we need to look at, are there areas where I'm asserting strength and power when in fact God is asking me to assert gentleness, to give way in that situation? Even if I'm being provoked like that baby who's tugging on the dog's hair, that maybe I can walk away or I can find a gentle answer that turns away wrath. Philippians chapter 2 gives us this magnificent view of Jesus, who is God, completely God, and yet who humbled himself, coming in the form of a human being. We can't understand that. It's hard to get our mind around it. Impossible, really. And yet the God of the universe was willing to humble himself and gently come as a baby and learn how to talk and all of those things. And you know, when Paul talks about this and talks about how Jesus was so humble, he was even willing to come and die on a cross for our sake. In another place in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. He said, in light of the calling, in light of what Jesus did for us, that he died on the cross for us, that he came as a man for us. He limited all of his power and did only what the Father desired of him during that time. He was able to do all of that, and that's what enabled us, that's what called us to him. And so living a life worthy of the calling looks like what Jesus did. And so that's why Paul continues to say, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Our gentleness comes out of the fact that we know that ourselves, we can't live a life worthy of the calling. That unlike Jesus, we're not perfect. And so even as Paul is challenging us, this should help us in our humility. It should help us in our patience with others. Because he's saying, hey, you need to live a life worthy of your calling. Look what Jesus did for us. We can't really do it. And yet we should strive towards it and allow the Holy Spirit to mold and shape us to do it. And over time, I believe that we can grow. We can become so much better in every single one of the fruit of the Spirit as we simply yield to the work of the Spirit in our lives. You know, a lot of us like to be thought of as wise. I talked about that at the beginning, that, you know, everybody else who's making a different decision than us, that, you know, they're not so wise, they're foolish. Why would they do that? But, you know, James talks about wisdom and gentleness in James chapter 3, verse 13, when he says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by deeds done in the gentleness. Some translations say humility, but it's the same Greek word as in Galatians 5 with the fruit of the Spirit. Deeds done in gentleness that comes from wisdom. So how do we deal with Jesus' harsh side? How do we understand it? If this is what gentleness looks like, why was Jesus harsh at times? I believe we understand it better when we look at some of the situations that he was facing, and even what the Bible has to teach us about that, I think will help us to have the right balance. Several times we see that if someone is in the wrong and needs correction, we are to use gentleness. Galatians 6, chapter 1 says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit, by that, the gifts of the Spirit that are just in the earlier chapter, Galatians 5, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. 2 Timothy 2:25 says, opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth. But you know, there comes a time when those who oppose us, when those who are sinful and in the wrong, when they refuse to repent, when they refuse to turn from their ways, and it becomes time, in a sense, to exercise discipline, to be a little bit more harsh. And so while we have this teaching in the New Testament that says to restore someone gently, that's assuming that they're taking all the appropriate actions as we invite them to. But as Jesus points out in Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17, which I'm not going to read, but it's there, the reference is there for you to look at on the screen. He talks about when someone's caught in the sin, that you should just go to them one-on-one. But then he says, if not, then you need to bring some more people in. And if they still don't listen, then take it to the church. And if not, treat them as a tax collector. And in Titus chapter 3, Paul says, avoid foolish controversies and arguments because these are useless. Warn a divisive person once, then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. And so there's this sense that the Bible teaches we warn people, we treat them gently, but that there comes a point when more harsh action is needed, where we have to respond and challenge somebody. And this is always in the context of our relationship. It's not appropriate for us to just walk in and start yelling at somebody or responding to somebody. It's appropriate when we've done everything that we can to call this person to change and they still haven't. And even then, we need to look at Jesus' harshness and recognize that Jesus was perfect and we are not. And in humility, we need to be very careful when we bring harshness to bear. These should be last resorts after we've tried everything else. Discipleship means that we need to put up with immaturity and correction again and again. Jesus was so patient with his disciples. There were times when he challenged them about their lack of faith, and sometimes it even seems a bit harsh, but we need to remember what was going on and see all the context and see how often he was gentle. The last situation, there, the Bible teaches us that we should be gentle, and yet sometimes there may be the need for something else, is found in 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter is giving instruction to the church as to what they should do when they're faced with people who are insulting them and threatening them. And he says in 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Now keep in mind, he's talking to people who are experiencing real persecution, real hardship here. People hated them. People called them all sorts of things. People accused them of things that just weren't true. And yet he's saying, be ready to give an answer for the reason, for the hope that you have. And do it with gentleness and respect. Yes, there's a time to challenge. We see the Apostle Paul in Acts, where there's somebody muttering, he's talking to somebody about Jesus, and there's somebody who's kind of saying, no, you know, this isn't true. And right in the middle of his talk to the ruler, he says, you know, you are a blind guide, and so you need to be blinded so that you will see the truth. And this guy is blinded. The Holy Spirit responds and blinds this man. There's a harshness there. And yet, we can put these two things together because we understand that Paul is speaking the truth and he's seeing somebody who is not only refusing to believe for themselves, but he's drawing other people away. And that's when he responds in a harsh way. And so we can understand what gentleness looks like, that it's not being weak, that it's not letting anything happen or anything go, but it truly is standing for what's right, but doing it in as gentle a way as possible. Do we need to grow in gentleness today? You know, even if you're a very gentle person, maybe there's some parts of your life where you need to become a little more harsh. But you know, I bet you that there are other areas where we need to grow in the area of gentleness. Do we need to be reminded of our need? That God is still so gentle with us, that we are so imperfect, and let he gently nudges us and helps us to grow in him. That's really what the fruit of the Spirit is just the Spirit nudging us and us saying yes. And he's so gentle, so patient to do that. We need to remind ourselves of our need for grace. But is there a situation maybe where we need to correct others, where we need to respond to others who don't believe, and we need to do it in a gentle way. Maybe before we've been doing it in harsh ways, and God is calling us to gentleness today. Whatever it is that God is calling us to do, I really believe that he enables us to do it. And that's what the fruit of the Spirit is all about. That the Holy Spirit is going to nudge us, he's going to give us the strength, and he's even going to impact our will. And so today, if you're somebody who maybe has been very harsh, maybe you've dug a lot of holes that you don't even think you can get out of in relationships, and you're wondering where you can even start. Well, today the place that we start is by coming to God and saying, Lord, I'm sorry. That's repentance. I'm sorry for the mess I've made. Would you help me to become the gentle person that I'd like to be? And maybe even if we're struggling with that, we like to be a tough person to say, Lord, give me a will to be gentle, to treat people the way you would have treated them and you would have me treat them. I believe that the Spirit can help us to do that. And so wherever we are in this journey of growing in the fruit of the Spirit, in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit will put his finger on something in our lives. Maybe he's doing that with you today. And he's challenging you to grow. And all we have to do is just respond and allow him to do that. Yield ourselves to him. We say, God, this is my desire. And even if you're struggling with the desire today, I invite you to sing it and say, Lord, help me to mean this with my heart. You know, sometimes that's where it's at. We don't even necessarily want the right things, but his Spirit will help us. And so as a congregation, let's join together and invite the Holy Spirit to have his way in us today. That is our prayer today, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would have his way in us. Lord, we recognize that we fall so far short in the area of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And yet, we are so thankful that you are so gentle towards us. You are so patient with us, so loving, so merciful towards us, that in your great wisdom, you have placed your Holy Spirit inside of us. And so we just invite you today, Holy Spirit, have your way. Even in the areas where we don't want to change, would you mold and shape our will to become more like you, that we might demonstrate Jesus Christ in the flesh to the people around us. We know we won't do that perfectly, but God, may it be more and more every day, more of you in us. Help us, Lord. We turn away from the things that we know that are wrong. We turn towards you. We yield to you today. And God, as we do, we believe that you are going to do amazing, awesome things in our lives. That those of us who struggle with harshness are going to see gentleness grow. That those of us who struggle with anxiety are going to see peace grow in our hearts. That in every area that we struggle, God, we will see you at work. Thank you, God, that you do that, that you make us into your image. What an awesome thing that is. We love you. We glorify you for your mighty works in our lives, and we look forward to what you're going to do in and through us as we seek to be your people, called to take your light all throughout this world. God, we believe that you're going to do it through imperfect people like us. You're going to make us perfect in your sight. You're going to make us the light that you've called us to be. And so, God, we invite you to do that. Lord, help us as we reach out to our neighbors and coworkers and maybe other students or friends throughout this time of isolation. God, help us to show your light. Thank you, God, that you are helping us even now. In your name we pray. Amen.